Good to see all of you this beautiful, high, holy day, Sabbath morning. Good to see such a room full of people. As we say, that means absolutely nothing. Well, brethren, the man's name is Antonio Mendez. Probably very few of us know who he is. Maybe a few of us do. As I tell you the story, probably a few more of us will. Antonio Mendez is an American hero, a CIA operative that, according to former President Jimmy Carter, is one of the 50 most important CIA operatives of all time. On November 4th, 1979, the Iranian Revolution took 60 Americans hostage in the American Embassy in Tehran. Many of us remember that. I say many of us because many of us are over the age of 45, and so we will remember that. They were held hostage in Tehran for 444 days. Again, many of us remember that. Six other Americans slipped out a back door and through a series of events ended up at the Canadian embassy or the Canadian ambassador's residence where they were held or where they were at that residence inside that house for 87 days until Antonio Mendez rescued them. Now, many of you perhaps are beginning to remember this or maybe have seen the movie, a movie that is interesting in terms of history, historical, and visuals, but the language in it is atrocious, so I wouldn't necessarily recommend it. But it was an event in our history that was very interesting. The mission that Mr. Mendez, Antonio Mendez, was on was highly classified until it was declassified almost 20 years later after the event. Very few people knew what happened, only a very few inside the CIA circle and a very few others. The people he rescued did not know his name. He was awarded the Intelligence Star for his heroics. It's the highest award of merit of the clandestine services of the United States. But again, only a very few people knew. Very few people until, again, it was declassified. So his merit award was basically archived in some archive where they keep those classified things. A very interesting event and a very secretive event that very few people knew about. His supervisor, as he was leaving to go on his mission, made an interesting statement that I want to focus on just a little bit. As he was leaving to embark on his assignment, his supervisor said, "Don't mess this up. The whole country is watching. They just don't know it." The whole country is watching. They just don't know it. I thought that to be an interesting statement and can be applicable for us today. Here, on the day of Pentecost. You know, brethren, we sing a hymn in our hymnal. We are God's people. In fact, that's the title I've chosen for this message. We are God's people. Isn't that awesome? Think about that. Isn't it awesome when you think about and meditate on the fact that we are God's people? Romans 18, we're not going to turn there. Romans 8, verse 14, rather, we won't turn there. But it says, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God. We're going to hear, I'm sure, a lot about that today. We've probably heard messages, I know we have, leading up to this day on the subject of the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Romans 8:14. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? That we are here today. What? 200 of us or so? Out of probably several million people in northern Ohio and in northwestern Pennsylvania. We have several here from northwestern Pennsylvania. A couple hundred of us here. Out of all those people, it's awesome to realize that God has called us to be here, isn't it? What a blessing, what a wonderful blessing that is to be here on this day. Just focus on that a little bit today. This may be our favorite holy day. Now, I say that because Mr. Kylo, when he gave the In Accord last week, he mentioned that. He said that, you know, our favorite holy day tends to be the next one. And so today, this may be our favorite holy day. You know, next week or a few weeks from now, it may be the Feast of Trumpets. I'm not sure the Day of Atonement ever rises to there. But, you know, from a physical standpoint, spiritually, though, we very much look forward to that, don't we? This is a wonderful holy day. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26, we are God's people. It's a wonderful blessing for us to have that title. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26, though, puts a little bit of perspective on it for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 says, for you see your calling, brethren. So it is a calling. We are called here, and it is a calling. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise, according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. So that kind of puts a little perspective on it for us, doesn't it? It's not because of our might that we're called. It's not because of our wisdom according to the flesh. It's not because of our nobility. It's because God has called us. Verse 27 says, you know, kind of puts a little further kibosh on some of us. It says, for God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God can do that. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. So God has called us here. It's not because of, as we'll see a little bit more, not because of the things that we have done, not because of our might, not because of our greatness. It's because God has done that for us. 2 Timothy chapter 1, book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, and verse 8 and 9. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8 says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Not to be ashamed of that, nor of me, Paul said here in his letter to Timothy, his prisoner. So we're not to be ashamed of this. We're here, a couple hundred people amongst several million, and we're not ashamed of this, are we? We're pleased, and we're not ashamed of this. It says, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. It's a holy calling. you know, sanctified, separate, set apart. We're sanctified and separate and set apart. Again, as Paul said here, not according to our works, not according to the great things that we have done, not according to our works, but for a purpose that we're set aside. It's a holy calling and a calling for a purpose. According, Paul continues here, according to his own purpose. We're called according to his own purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So as we heard yesterday, and I'm assuming all of us had the sermon yesterday from Mr. Meeker, and he quoted Mr. Armstrong saying, God does not call people as a favor. He calls them because he has something for them to do. So God has a purpose for us in that calling because he has something for us to do. And we're involved in doing something. We're involved in a greater work than ourselves, a greater work than the several hundred of us here, in a greater work to do a job. Let's go to John chapter 15 first. So he has called us for his own special purpose. We have a special purpose. A special purpose. You know, he didn't call us. It's not because of our might and our nobility, as we read there in 1 Corinthians, but we are a special people, aren't we? We are a special people. Peter said that in 1 Peter 2:9, that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. His own special people. It's him that makes us special there, though, doesn't it? It's God that makes us special. It's God that makes us his people. John chapter 15 and verse 16, you're probably all there. I'm not, so I cannot do two things at once. I cannot speak and turn pages. John chapter 15 and verse 16, Christ said, you did not choose me. I chose you. You know, we know well John chapter 6 and verse 44, where Christ said, no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And here he said the same thing. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. A purpose, isn't it? He has something for us to do. He chose us. We didn't choose him. He has something for us to do. He has fruit for us to bear. So you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. So we have something to do. We have fruit to bear, don't we? We have fruit to bear, something to do. We have a purpose. You know, we are God's people with a purpose, with a responsibility, with something to do. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And here we'll see again that it is God. It is God that brought us along. It's not because of our great works, not because of anything great that we have done. So we can't boast, can we? Verse 18 says, but of his own will he brought us forth. He brought us forth. So we can't, you know, put our thumbs under our lapels and stick our chest out and think that we're something great or that it's because of something great that we did. Christ has made that clear. God has made that clear in the scriptures that we've read. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. That we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And that brings us to today, doesn't it? It brings us to today that we are, as James here said, first fruits of his creatures with a purpose, with a responsibility, and with something to do. Something more than just, you know, our normal day-to-day routine that everybody else does and has. We have a purpose and a responsibility. So that brings us to today, the day of Pentecost, as it's described in Acts chapter 2, means 50th, as it's described in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 15 and 16. Mr. Meeker went there yesterday and explained that pretty thoroughly. I'd like us to turn, though, then to the account in Numbers. Numbers chapter 28, where we also see a listing of all of God's holy days in the book of Numbers chapter 28 and verse 26. Numbers chapter 28 and verse and 29, both of those chapters, Numbers 28 and 29, discuss God's holy days. Numbers 28 and verse 15, verse 16 rather, says the 14th day of the first month is the Passover. And verse 17 says the 15th day, Feast of Unleavened Bread. Go on ahead to Numbers chapter 29 and verse 1. Seventh month, first day, Feast of Trumpets. Verse 7, 10th day, seventh month, holy day, holy convocation, afflict your souls, Feast of Day of Atonement. Verse 12, 15th day, first month, seventh month rather, Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 35, on the eighth day, shall have a holy convocation. Verse 26 of chapter 28 says, also on the day of first fruits. What did we read there in James? Is that we are first fruits. We are the first fruits of his creatures, with a purpose, with something to do. So this is, in that sense, our day, a day of first fruits. Day of first fruits, as it's put in Numbers. When you bring a new grain offering to the Lord at your Feast of Weeks, you shall have a holy convocation. And that's why we meet on God's holy days, is because we're commanded to have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. So we're not, even though it is a Sunday, we're not at home mowing our grass or doing what we normally would do, playing golf, right, on a Sunday morning. We're here as we're commanded to be at a holy convocation. So simply here we're referred to, or this is referred to, as a day of first fruits, a commanded assembly that we're here for. So we are God's people, aren't we? We're God's people, called by God. We have a holy calling for a special purpose, called because God has something for us to do. So what do we do? What do we do? Let's look at that for the remaining time here. Let's look at a five-step action plan. a five-step action plan on what we are to do. Let's go back to the book of Deuteronomy for that action plan. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 4. Says, but you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today. Action step number one, hold fast to the Lord your God. Hold fast to the Lord your God. Sometimes we feel a little bit like, maybe like the Israelites did here. So it's amazing to me. This is an account. Here in verse 3, it talks about Baal Peor. What is it back in Numbers? I think chapter 25, roughly. That, you know, there was harlotry and idolatry committed. And 24,000 people, I think it was, died. It's amazing sometimes when you look at the journey that Israel took in the wilderness, how many people died. You know, you can look at the rebellion of Korah. The ground opened up, swallowed up thousands. The next day, it says, they murmured, and there was a plague, and I think it was 14,000 more died. Maybe you begin to understand why they were called stiff-necked sometimes. But then Moses said here, but you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today. You and I have held fast, haven't we? You know, I was talking to our daughter a little bit about what used to be, and we, you know, it was nice that we have several hundred people here and a full house, and we're looking for seats to get everybody in, and that's a wonderful thing. But there was a time when that was a normal service for us, and maybe 50% more of us in some cases. But we have held fast to the Lord our God, haven't we? We've held fast. You know, Hebrews 4:14 we could go to. We won't turn there, but it says, hold fast. You know, let us hold fast our confession. You can write that down, maybe look at it later if you want. Let us hold fast our confession. So we're to hold fast. So action step number one of things that we can do is that we can hold fast to the Lord our God. We do that, of course, by the basics: prayer, Bible study, fasting, meditation. Verse 5 of Deuteronomy 4, verse 5 says, surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Action step number 2, act according to what you're being taught. Act according to what you're being taught. As we can see here in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 5, we're being taught a lot of things, aren't we? We have a lot of information at our disposal. We have a large responsibility that is incorporated here, really. We talk about statutes and judgments, God's laws. It's about doing a work too, isn't it? We're being taught to do that, doing a work. Doing the work of God. Jesus Christ said what in Philippians 2:5? Let this mind be in you. So we're to have that mind, aren't we? In John chapter 4 and verse 34, Christ said, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So we have a responsibility to do things as God's people, because we are God's people. Action step number 3, verse 6. Action step number 3. Therefore, be careful to observe them. We'll see that several times here as we go through this action step plan. Be careful. Observe them carefully. So that kind of goes back to action step number 2. To be careful. Be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Action step number 3, set the right example for others. Be the example. That's something that we have to do. You know, we're not just called, you know, as a favor, but we're called because there's something for us to do. And that is that we have to set the tone, don't we? We have to set the example. We have to be the example of right living. We as God's people have to be that example, an example of right living. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. So we're to let our light shine. We're to set the example of God's people, being God's people, in letting our light so shine before men. Verse 7, for what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? Again, what a wonderful statement that is. What great nation, what people, as God's people, have God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? For whatever reason, we may call on Him. Action step number 4, cast your cares on God. Cast your cares on God. Action step number 4, 1 Peter 5:7 of course says that, cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. So we cast all of our cares on God, don't we? So we have cares. We have trials that we go through, the trials of life that we go through, and we cast those cares on God. And we go on our knees before our God and we ask for His help and His guidance in all that we do. So action step number 4, cast your cares on God. We are God's people. We will not fail. God is not going to fail. We will not fail. Matthew 16, verse 18, Christ said, I will build my church, the ecclesia or the ecclesia, called out ones. What did we look at earlier? That we are called. We have a holy calling. Called out ones. Christ said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Christ is going to build His church. What about us individually? Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will finish it. If we pay attention to and heed action step number 5. Verse 9, here of Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, says, only take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself. And diligently diligently. What did we read earlier? Carefully observe. Diligently keep yourself. Diligently keep yourself. Lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. So we have a responsibility to teach our children and grandchildren, don't we? So action step number 5, diligently keep yourself. The New International Version reads this way. It says, only be careful and watch yourselves closely. Watch yourselves closely, so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. So we have to be diligent in these things, don't we? We have to be diligent in these things. We have to hold fast to the Lord our God. We have to act according to what we're being taught. We have to set the right example. We have to cast our cares on God, depend on Him, and we have to diligently keep ourselves and teach those things to our children and our grandchildren. What a blessing it is, Father, to be, what a blessing it is to be called by the Father to be God's people. What a blessing that is to be called to be God's people. James 1:27 says, keep yourself unspotted from the world. We're to keep ourselves. Well, brethren, we are God's people, aren't we? We've shown that. We are called with a holy calling. We are God's people. We can't mess this up. Our friends, our family, our neighbors need what we have. The whole world is watching. They just don't know it.